And welcome and good morning to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. Good morning, I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising, a local advertising agency here in Tucson. This show, Back to Business with Rob and Alan, is brand new. In fact, today's our second show. This is Saturday, May 16th, 2020. I am committed to serving you, our audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for marketing your business.
And my name's Alan McCloskey. You may know me as the owner-operator of a local chain of shoe stores, Alan's Shoes.
This show, Back to Business with Rob and Alan, is about mustering up the energy, the excitement, the will, and the attitude in an effort to help our local small business people.
Alan, quoting from an article written by Donata Ramanishta in the Entrepreneur Life column on Media.com, in the U.S., the conversation around the coronavirus pandemic has been rightly focused on saving lives. Conversely, a lot of focus has also rightly been placed on minimizing damage to the economy and getting it back on track once this crisis has ended. Small business are the lifeblood of the economy. A large part of our lives is our livelihoods. They take up a good portion of our time and are ingrained in our identities. For small business owners like the ones in my neighborhood, their livelihoods are ingrained even deeper in who they are. They not only have a financial stake in their businesses, but also a personal one. This personal connection may even be deeper for those whose businesses have been in their families for generations. By the way, Alan's family connection to the shoe business is now in its eighth generation.
Rob, you hear it every day. For the last 2 months, if you're in business, it is difficult. Everything's more complicated than ever was. Business is tough. Currently, very few business people have a strong sense of confidence moving forward. Small businessmen are thinking about their employees, thinking about the employees' safety, thinking about their customers, about their safety, about cash flow. So every business person I know is busy talking to vendors, talking to landlords, talking to bankers, talking to employees, accessing more and more information on the web every day and trying to just figure out a new game plan.
We're going to try and help you through it. We're going to be discussing the latest news and also interviewing leaders in our community each week that will share with you their experience, their knowledge, and their stories of struggles and success.
Rob, before you introduce our guest, I want to remind our viewers that our call-in line is 790-2040. So if anyone wants to call in to our guest or have a comment later on in the show, please do that. 790-2040. This is KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. You can live stream us on the webpage of the KVOI website if you prefer. In the second half of our show, we will have some news. We'll also have some interesting questions that came in just yesterday via email.
So we're going to whet your appetite so you'll stay with us the entire hour. Here's the big question of the week, sent to us from a listener in Green Valley. For a small local retailer, inventory is way up over plan and sales are down on plan. Customer count is down, brands carried are being discontinued or discounted on the internet. Needless to say, bills are stacking up. Looks like a perfect storm for going out of business. What do you suggest? Have a big sale, a huge sale to generate cash? Dig into the retirement funds? Scale back my staff by hours and by total employees, or both? Do more myself, sales, cleaning, etc., than I now pay others to do. No bank will loan to my business unless I secure the loan. Should I? Or should I just file bankruptcy?
Well, Rob, I'm going to take a stab at that question, but that comes after our news segment, and that's in the second half of the show. Are you ready to introduce our guest?
I am, Alan. I'm really excited today. Our guest is Daryl Durham from the Arizona Daily Star. He's their market development director. He came to the media company in 2004 from Columbus, Ohio, where he served in a similar capacity for the Columbus Dispatch. He began his career as a copy boy at the Kansas City Star. It's generally thought that this last job was the one that he truly did well. Daryl, welcome to Back to Business.
Good morning, Rob and Alan. Thanks for the invitation.
Hey, we're really happy to have you.
Great. You know, I want to say first, I hope that we have all the empathy needed to talk to businesses. I can tell you, our business has been hammered by the pandemic just like everybody else's. And it's corny to say we feel your pain, but we feel our pain certainly every day.
Well, we're glad to see the last several days. Daryl, I've seen more ads in the paper. Businesses are starting to open up again. I know for several weeks there was not much in there. And as people have to come to realize the newspaper, your revenue is basically generated by ad revenue. So this has been as difficult for you as it has been for everyone else. Maybe you can talk to us a little bit about some of the programs the Arizona Daily Star has for small business and kind of what your place is in the community. I mean, the Arizona Daily Star is the big voice of news in Tucson.
Great. I'm glad to do it. You know, I thought I would do this off the cuff. I realized when I do things off the cuff, I say things like, here's five reasons, and then forget three of them. So I'm working from some notes I took the last couple of days. And if it's okay with you, I'll start with a little about how I see the role of the Star. And I understand that working for a newspaper, whether it's print or digital, is all I have ever done since I was a kid. And that can make me philosophical, I suppose, now and then. Okay, so here's how I see it. I think a great newspaper does its best to serve equally readers, businesses, and community institutions like nonprofits and University of Arizona. Those three are often interconnected. For example, many of our readers are business people like you who are both advertisers and big supporters of community nonprofits. How a great newspaper, and let me be clear, I believe we are a great newspaper. How a great newspaper does this day in and day out shouldn't be substantially different than it is in times like these when the chips are down. Our conversation today is about businesses and how we've been supporting them during the pandemic and how we will continue to do so as they're getting back to business. As soon as the pandemic began to sour the local economy, we launched an initiative called Tucson Together across the Daily Star. It involved literally everybody, including the newsroom, but I won't get into that part of it as much. In March, we began with a feature called Open Eats, still runs today. It's a print and digital listing of restaurants that offer takeout, curbside pickup, or delivery. That list now stands at 575. And again, the listings themselves were free. In April, about early April, I think, we published an open letter to advertisers from our advertising team, and we offered to throw every research, creative, and productive service we have behind advertising and marketing campaigns for them. That offer still stands. You call us and we'll bring on every consultative and marketing resource we have to help your firm get cracking again. We follow that up with Buy Local, a digital site where readers could buy gift cards from Tucson businesses, which we listed for free. There are currently 83 businesses on that list. About mid-April, we opened a program of marketing grants. It offered qualified local businesses matching advertising for their print and digital buys. There was even a program of free ads for businesses that were so small or so strapped they had no advertising budget at all. That application window has closed with 125 advertisers in the program. You didn't hear this from me, but even though that marketing program is closed, if you call your Daily Star advertising representative or the main sales department number, which is 573-4366, I'll bet you can still work out a really good Star advertising deal. I expect most of the business support initiatives I've talked about so far will continue so long as we feel they're serving a need. Again, there's no use publishing something that nobody wants or needs. But I want to call listeners' attention to two more helpful business news features we've run for years. They're earned media opportunities that I would urge any business to take advantage of. The first is Moving Up. It's a Sunday Star business column that spotlights Tucsonans who've gotten promotions or taking new positions. It's a no-charge service that smart businesses use to give their top talent a shout-out and to shine their brand at the same time. If you've made some leadership changes at your firm, this would be a good way to call attention to your restart. Just mail your info and employee photos to business@tucson.com with the words Moving Up in the subject line. This is another way to let readers know you're back in business if you've got some industry or local honors to brag about. It's Business Awards in Southern Arizona. It's a column in the Wednesday Star. Send your recent honors to business@tucson.com and put the words Biz Awards in the subject line. There's sometimes on both those features, there's sometimes a backup, you know, but get so much at one time, but they get to them all eventually. Finally, Robin Allen, at the risk of sounding grandiose, I'll make this claim. There's no marketing or advertising service that I can think of, with the possible exception of skywriting, that the Daily Star doesn't offer in-house or through the two major companies that media companies that own our operation. That's Gannett and Lee Enterprises. For example, we have on staff one of the best market researchers in Tucson, a woman named Heather Locke, and a terrific videographer and a guy named Jay Walsh. Digital marketing services are especially deep at the Star now that we have a national digital agency called Amplify to draw on.
Daryl?
Okay. Yes.
This is Alan. We'd like you to stay with us, but we got to take a break right now. If you're okay staying for us, we've got a lot of questions for you. So if you're listening, I want to tell our audience that you're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM, The Voice. Our call in line is 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
For over 37 years, Allen's Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen's Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Wolke, Propay, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowandDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowandDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Need a plumber? Call Al Coronado Plumbing. Featuring our five crown service. We charge by the job, not the hour. There are never any unpleasant surprises. As everyone knows, emergencies happen at the worst time. That's why we answer our phones 24/7. And at Al Coronado Plumbing, there's never an overtime charge. You pay the same regardless of when we do the work.
Al Coronado Plumbing, the name you've come to trust. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Our work is guaranteed up to 5 years. Call 323-7848.
Al Coronado Plumbing. Our five-pound service keeps things running.
Call 323-7848. ROC number 289733.
And welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Allen
Shoes. And this is Back to Business with Rob and Alan. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And our special guest this morning is Daryl Durham with the Arizona Daily Star. If you have any questions for Daryl, please call 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Daryl, welcome back. We're talking about the Arizona Daily Star and all the programs that you have available for people to get back to business.
Yep, it's a bunch. I pretty much exhausted the list that I had. I've got more, but you know, let's talk. What questions do you have, or what questions do your listeners have?
One of the questions I have is, it seems like the Star is doing a lot in the online area as far as going to a digital edition. What's the plan?
Well, you know, let me say in the short version, the plan is to be as flexible as we can. We know the world's heading digital. I'm an old print guy, so I don't see print going away, but clearly it has a role that isn't quite as dominant as it once was. I mentioned in the notes that one of our owners is contracted with, or actually owns, I'm not sure what the deal is, a digital agency. I've been on a couple of calls the last couple of days, and there is literally nothing digitally that can be done that these guys can't do for advertisers. It's just part of our services. So, yeah, our digital edition gets a lot of readership, and we're talking about not just the, I'll call it the HTML version, you know, the typical website, but the e-edition, the PDFs, gets a lot of readership. And for print readers who want to make that transition to digital, that e-edition is a really easy way to do it.
Daryl, this is Alan. I read somewhere where a newspaper, I thought it was in Mesa, it could have been somewhere else, where they decided that they were going to take their print edition on Monday and drop that. Is that one of the things under consideration, maybe?
It is not, so far as I know. I mean, there are papers that have done that, some fairly large papers that did that a couple of years ago. New Orleans, I think, did it. I think with not particularly happy results. No, it's not under discussion at the Star or certainly at our level. I have such a affection for our business and the people who read newspapers. I think it's just so built in that we provide news 7 days a week in the formats that people want. The idea of giving one of those up doesn't seem to make sense to me. But to answer your question, short version, no, that's nothing we're planning.
Has newspaper readership gone up during the pandemic? People wanting more news?
It's gone. You know, we don't track newspaper readership on a like day-to-day basis. We use Scarborough over a period of time, but we can track online readership, you know, actually real time, and it has skyrocketed. Absolutely. People are going online to read the news online. Our subscription operation, again, I'm not part of that. I just sat down on meetings with them. My sense is that the subscriptions have largely stabilized. People who might go on vacation aren't. Snowbirds who were leaving early may have stayed, and the people who are here have stayed with the subscription because, again, print's the version that those particular people want, and the news is hot. And so, again, short answer, yeah, it's gone crazy.
This is Alan again. Isn't it too early to advertise? We got an email from one of our listeners, and they said, listen, some people feel it's too soon to open non-essential businesses. Won't I be offending some people if I advertise?
I don't think so. I guess it depends on the business. I can't give a blanket answer for the situations in a customer base of all businesses. There's all kinds of ways to advertise. Keeping your name out in the public is probably always a good idea, even in times like these, because my sense is if you wait until the point where everybody's open, you're going to be behind the game. That would be my guess. If you wait that long to remind people you're still in business, you've probably waited too long. Now, how much is too soon and what you say? Again, that's from place to place.
So if a businessman thinks that business is not likely to come back to normal for months or years, can he really afford to invest in advertising? I mean, it can only take up so much of anyone's budget.
Well, yeah, it's almost like a family budget. You've got to make your decisions based on the money you've got and needs you have. If I had it in front of me, I'd quote from it, but I don't. There is a survey that has been done. I can't remember by who, but it was a national survey involving almost every kind of media and every kind of business. And it showed that businesses that advertise in a downturn, which is certainly, I think this qualifies as one, who continued to market or up their marketing, depends on the business, did way better when the things improved than those who waited to see, you know, the sun come up in the first place. If you'd like, I can send both of you that information, but it's a survey that's been around for, I saw it maybe a couple of months ago.
I've seen that before. I've also seen a survey that showed that businesses that start fresh in a situation like this sometimes do extremely well. People think you're crazy to open a business now because of what's going on, but depending on the niche you're looking to fit, you know, it could be perfect timing. It just depends on what your marketing and what your product is.
You know, it's a share of mind thing. I mean, to get a fresh share of mind with no baggage or I guess equity going for you can have its advantages. In the end, it'll all shake out. You still have to have the good product, the good service, and in the end, that's what makes the difference. But yeah, getting out with a fresh start has its advantages.
Daryl, can you tell us about your background and your experiences, and can you give us some stories or examples of other downturns that you've witnessed during your career and lessons that you learned out of them that you're using right now?
see. I guess some thought to that. Well, I mean, the most recent downturn was the Great Recession. I was working for the Arizona Daily Star in those days. And, you know, it was a different kind of downturn. It wasn't quite, I mean, it certainly didn't put as many businesses out of business as this seems to be doing now, or threatening them. But I think that particular recession, and then the one in the 80s, where I forget which newspaper it was at that point, but it forced us to offer some new kinds of products, new ways of solving problems when the traditional ways themselves either weren't completely successful, or new audiences popped up, or new lifestyles were created by the downturn. And this is no exception. A lot of that digital stuff that I have been talking about really is in response to the COVID now, but it was sort of developed back in the other recession. I mean, look at social media. Social media sprang up at a time when the Great Recession was at its peak, and it served a need.
Well, thank you for that answer, and I think that was a pretty good example. So, Daryl, are there any strategies or tactics that a small business person should change up relative to advertising, given what is going on? So should they be handling or creating ads in a different way? Should they be, for example, talking more or leaving alone the issue that we're all facing? Any other, you know, what do you tell advertisers of how to craft their ads now if it's anything different?
Well, that's a pretty broad question. I'll take our business as an example. I mean, there is a tendency in the modern world to want to distance yourself from all the things you've always done, and all use the word equity, all the things you built up all the years, the brand promises you've made, and say, you know, that doesn't work anymore. That's baggage you don't carry around. I'd be careful not to do that. I'd be careful not to bet all the farm on just simply saying we've been around 50 years and we have a great brand. But don't give that up. In a world where things change over and over at an accelerating pace, to be able to say, you know, we have always been the business that stayed here in Tucson, or we have been this kind of an award winner for this many years, or our employees' terms of service add up to hundreds of years, don't give that up without a good reason. New is good, but new has a way of getting old and kind of weak pretty fast.
And I saw in your newspaper this morning, actually, about having to change the way you do business now. There was an article about Lin's Chinese buffet over on Park Avenue, and they had to close for a while, and now they're going to cafeteria-style service. So you'll go through the line, you'll tell the server what you want, they'll put it on your plate, move the plate down the line, fill up your plate, sit down, and then you'll have to do the same thing all over again. So no more, people won't be touching stuff anymore in the restaurants. Everything is going to be changing, and you have to be flexible, or you're not going to make it.
You do, but I also think you have to be keep your eyes open. I think there are things that we think are going to go away and never come back again that just might. I mean, I think, for example, there was a time when we thought big box stores were going to run every small business out of business. That didn't happen. Or that Amazon was going to make every small business, every small bookstore go out of business. And that didn't happen, because at some point there was a trend back, at least in some quarters, toward what was proven in the past. So, yeah, you are right. You have to be flexible. But part of flexible means keep an eye on what you have. Keep an eye on what people are doing. It's surprising what consumers will tell you if you just keep your eyes open.
It's very important now. And, you know, I think one of the other tips we can give people is don't overreact. You need to think through your decisions. Don't shoot from the hip. You got to think about it. Count to 10. You don't want to make any rash decisions now that you might be sorry you made, you know, 6 months from now. It's an interesting time, and we all need to kind of keep our powder dry.
You know, you're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. Daryl, I want to thank you for joining us. Had great information, and I appreciate your service to the community and your service to the newspaper, and we thank you for coming on. You're listening to Back to Business with Rob and Alan on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice, and we want you to join us here every Saturday at 9 a.m., when we'll have great guests, and we'll be on through 10 today. And so we're 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. On Saturdays on, again, KVY 10 a.m. The Voice. And we'll break for some commercial announcements and national news break.
And Daryl, thanks for being with us.
This is a Bloomberg Money Minute. Even without live sports, we're watching more TV than ever. An average of 8 hours a week more than we were prior to the pandemic, according to Comcast. And Bloomberg's Andres Guerra-Luz says non-traditional viewing is on the rise.
There was a corresponding 35% increase in streaming and web video consumption.
More viewers are signing up with Netflix. The new Disney Plus already has more than 50 million subscribers worldwide. Subscriptions to the paid services CBS All Access and Showtime OTT from Viacom CBS are up 50% from a year ago. Comcast says people who are stuck at home don't follow their old routines. They stay in front of their sets later at night, and more TV is watched on Mondays than on Saturdays. And journalists who've been working hard to keep the world informed will be happy to hear that their work is not going unnoticed.
People were actually watching the heavier stuff, so watching a lot of news lately and dramas.
Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Radio.
At Council.
CBS News Update.
Oh my gosh, I woke up this morning and was like, yeah, are you kidding?
That's the woman at Folsom Lake in California, which is among the many places in the nation that are reopening after weeks of COVID-19 stay-at-home orders. Joshua Loden is co-owner of the Apple Barrel Country Store and Cafe in Schoharie, New York.
It is a bit of a challenge, but, you know, like this entire pandemic, we've just been taking it in stride as best we can and going with it and, you know, figuring it out like everybody else.
British researchers want to know if dogs can sniff out people with COVID-19. Durham University professor Steve Lindsay.
We could screen travelers innocently coming into this country who may be carrying COVID-19. Detect those people and isolate them from the rest of the community.
There are 6 dogs already in training for the program, and the charity Medical Detection Dog says a single canine could check up to 250 people an hour. CBS News Update. I'm Allison Keys.
Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is a wide-width specialty store located at 7366 North Oracle Road, about a block north of Ina. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes focuses on wide and extra wide widths of men's and women's shoes. The best selection of wide width shoes in Tucson. You'll find some brands in this location that aren't carried at our stores, such as Softwalk, Aravon, SAS, Trotters, and Easy Spirit. We also carry the best selection of wide widths from both Brooks and New Balance. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff, and a vast inventory of sizes and widths is the Allen Shoes promise. Wide Wide by Allen Shoes is open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
And welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising, a local advertising agency.
And I'm Alan McCloskey. My wife and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson.
The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. Got some news stories to talk about, Alan. A lot happened this past week. In fact, today, I guess at midnight, the stay-at-home order expired. Governor Ducey's order expired. A lot of businesses opened up last week, including yours. Several restaurants are now operating under limited conditions. Found an interesting article this morning in the Arizona Daily Star that I'd like to share with our listeners. It seems like the Pima County Board of Supervisors will amend a set of temporary health code regulations it passed this week after receiving pushback from leaders across the Tucson area and the state. In an emergency meeting Wednesday, the board voted 3-2 to adopt the regulations for restaurants, pools, gyms, and other facilities in order to protect employees and customers through the duration of the pandemic. The proclamation includes a variety of regulations for different businesses, such as occupancy limitations, protective equipment requirements, social distancing protocols, daily temperature checks, and the public display of signage and cleaning logs. The goal of this effort is to assure the public that it is safe to resume dining, recreating, exercising, and lodging in Pima County because the county, through its statutory duty to protect the public health, has established, in cooperation with the business community, a set of minimum standards that will help protect workers and the public from the transmission of COVID-19, said Pima County Administrator Chuck Huckleberry. The adoption of the regulations followed Governor Ducey's announcement that Arizona's stay-home order was going to be allowed to expire. Now, some are saying the county's regulations are a violation of Ducey's latest executive order, which forbids counties, cities, and towns from making rules and regulations inconsistent with those issued by the governor. State Senator Vince Leach, Republican from Tucson, and Representatives Mark Fincham, Republican from Oro Valley, and Brett Roberts, Republican from Maricopa, have asked Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich to investigate Pima County's proclamation. With the curve of transmission flattened, it's time to lift the heavy hand of government, said Fincham. The governor's latest executive order has precautions designed to protect patrons while giving businesses the freedom to restart and rebuild their lives and the lives of their employees. The decision by three supervisors to ignore the governor's clear directive not to exceed state standards is by definition a violation of law. The county was notified Friday by the Office of the Arizona Attorney General that an investigation would be conducted over the next 30 days. Even so, Huckleberry maintained that supervisors vetted all the adopted regulations with the county attorney and believed these standards fall well within the county's statutory requirement to protect public health. While Tucson Mayor Raheena Romero and Oro Valley Mayor Joe Winnefield, have both said they are supportive of the county's protective measures as the state reopens, Sarita Mayor Tom Murphy and Marana Mayor Ed Honea have been outspoken opponents of the proclamation. We believe that the regulations passed by the county are an overreach and an extension of the governor's order, Honea said. We're not going to police it. I can tell you that if they try and come in and shut a restaurant down in my town, we're really going to have a battle. Since the regulations were passed, the county also received both positive and negative reactions from the community and local business owners. We've received considerable feedback from some businesses and the public that the adopted measures don't go far enough, that they're too liberal and should be more restrictive while the pandemic is ongoing, Huckleberry said. We've also heard from some businesses and some members of the public that they go too far, are impractical, or that we should let individual businesses decide what's safe for their business operations during a pandemic. The Arizona Restaurant Association and the Arizona Craft Brewers Guild sent letters to the board citing a number of concerns, including the requirement of employees to perform temperature checks and turn away any patrons who exhibit symptoms of COVID-19. Among other complaints, the organizations also took issue with the civil penalties associated with any violation of the regulations. As a result of this feedback, Huckleberry has proposed a number of amendments to be discussed at Tucson's Board of Supervisors meeting. If the amendments are approved, restaurants would not be required to have call-ahead reservation systems, staff would no longer be required to determine if a prospective patron is ill with COVID-19, and the civil penalties associated with the violations would be rescinded. Supervisor Steve Christie, who voted against the county proclamation, said he wanted to see the complete removal of what he called burdensome regulations for suffering businesses. I will continue to oppose the entire package, he said. These amendments are a good start, but not good enough. I'm looking forward to the determination of the Attorney General's investigation. Supervisor Ramon Valadez, who sent a letter to Ducey before adopting the regulations, maintained the importance of the regulations, pointing to the fact that COVID-19 is still present in Pima County and that the community must continue doing its part to prevent the spread. Frankly, this reeks of political games while we at the county are trying to save lives, Valadez said. We worked on these regulations with specific instructions to make sure they were crafted in a way that did not conflict with the governor's orders. He made it, Governor Ducey, he's saying, made it very clear that we cannot expect the dining experience to go back to what we're used to. The only reason we've started to see a decline in cases is because of the steps we've taken as a community. But this is not over, and we need to continue. So this continues to go on in the county, Alan.
Hey, Rob, it seems like our guest next week on May 16th is going to be just timely enough to talk about that, about restaurants, because if I'm correct, Steve Turchi is the head of the Arizona
Restaurant Association.
That's right. So he comes on May 16th. That's next Saturday, again, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m.
Yes, and if you're in the restaurant business, or if you have friends in the restaurant business, have interest in the restaurant business, please tune in next week. Steve will be able to talk about all the things the Arizona Restaurant Association is doing for its members. And also, today is the 16th. May 23rd is next Saturday.
Oh, right? I'm sorry.
You gave the wrong date, Alan.
Hey, I'm staying home too long, and I don't even know what day it is. You're right. Okay, so next week's the 23rd, and this is the 16th, and now I need to...
That's one of the... You know, every day I wake up and I say to Rita, my wife, is today Wednesday? Is it Thursday? Is it Saturday? Don't know what day it is. The other day I did a schedule for a client, and I had the wrong weeks on there. The dates, it's just, we're kind of living in the twilight zone right now, so I guess we'll have to bear with it, and you'll have to just bear with it. That's all we can do.
Hey, Rob, can we pivot a little bit? Let's give an update to the CARES Act loan forgiveness, what we think we know right now. And I got to tell you, you and I were both on this webinar the other day. 6,000 people were on this webinar. It was given by Washington Federal Bank, wafedbank.com. And it even the experts are saying, this is what I think I know right now about this forgiveness stuff, about forgiving the PPP loan, or how that works and how the accounting is for it. And no one seems to have a clear indication. Is there anything that you've heard, Rob, where things have been cleared up recently?
Well, it just seems like every day they're changing. One of the things that came out, and I'd like to read this, the Small Business Administration guidance that was published on May 13th adds clarity to the necessity certification that borrowers were required to make when applying for the PPP loans. According to this guidance, borrowers that received PPP loans of less than $2 million will be deemed to have made the necessity certification in good faith. As to borrowers with loans greater than $2 million, if the SBA notifies the borrower that the SBA has determined that the borrower lacked an adequate basis for the necessity certification, the borrower will be able to avoid enforcement action by repaying the loan. Now, according to the certification, I think you had to say that this pandemic might in the future affect your business. Well, none of us had tea leaves. None of us have a crystal ball. So I would imagine that almost any business person would say, yes, this thing could affect my business. But I think the nice thing that came out of the webinar they had the other day was one of the attorneys got on, and this new determination so far by the SBA, anybody with a loan under $2 million probably doesn't have to worry about being audited as far as that certification goes. And I know a lot of people were kind of worried about that, because there was a little bit of a window where you could return the funds to the SBA without any obligation or any cost.
They say that window's closed now, but you know, I don't think anyone that I personally know as a small businessman filed a certification that was incorrect. I think it was the larger businesses. I mean, and the definition of small businesses is a big concern, because I don't consider a business with 500 employees a small business in my mind. So that's part of the problem, is people are defining things a little differently. So let's talk about the definition of accounting and what it includes. There's even the accountants on that webinar said that the issue regarding accrual-based accounting and cash-based accounting was still up in the air. It was still a controversy, and they were looking for the SBA to provide guidance. So you get your funds, you have 8 weeks to spend them. Does that mean that you're paying for expenses that occurred in those 8 weeks? Or if you paid things behind, would those even count? Or paid your rent in advance, would that count? So that is something you need to pay attention to. You need to account for correctly if you're expecting to get some forgiveness on your PPP loan.
You know, another thing that I spoke to my accountant about the other day was whether or not you can use the PPP money to pay the employee match on FICA and Medicare, and you cannot. Those are not part of those cannot come out. You can only use it for your gross payroll, so that could change also. But one of the things that came out of the webinar that I think is very important for everybody to understand is you want to make sure you have your I's and your T's taken care of. Make sure everything is in order. In fact, one of the accountants on the call thought that it wouldn't be a bad idea to put that PPP money in a separate bank account and then draw from it when you have to make your payroll payments or your rent payments or whatever. And this way you'll have a very good record of everything that happens. So when it comes time for the loan to be forgiven, you won't have any problem. But anyway, it's an interesting concept, and we'll be talking about this for a long time, I'm sure. And we'll be right back after this short break.
For over 37 years, Allen Shoes has become the place to find quality comfort footwear, great customer service, and the best selection of sizes and widths. Allen Shoes carries men's and women's shoes from brands such as New Balance, Brooks, Hoka, Birkenstock, Clarks, Echo, Taos, Finn, Mephisto, Piccolinos, Walkie, Propre, and many others. We think we're the best place to buy shoes in Tucson. Our selection of wide widths is the best in the area. A big selection of the best brands, coupled with service from an energetic staff and a vast inventory of sizes and widths, is the Allen Shoes promise. Our new store hours are 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Saturday. Allen Shoes offers the comfort you want and the service you deserve. Visit us at one of our Tucson stores or online at allenshoes.com.
Got bugs, termites, bees, or rodents? Arizona Pest Control will hunt them down. Arizona Pest Control is your complete desert pest management specialist. Pests can't run or hide from Arizona Pest Control. They use only the latest and most technologically advanced methods of pest elimination available, which minimizes the effects on the environment. Let Arizona Pest Control get rid of your bad bugs, termites, bees, or rodents. Serving Tucson and Southern Arizona since 1947, go to azpest.com to schedule your free evaluation today.
So much more than just windows and doors. Tucson Window and Door.
You've seen the rest. Now see the best at Tucson Window and Door. Right now, you'll save during our biggest sale ever. Save 15% on your entire purchase, plus an additional $100 on every window and door. Tucson Window and Door is locally owned and operated. You'll never get over the top prices by aggressive salespeople who won't leave your home. We'll always treat you fairly and with respect. Check out our numerous testimonials and positive reviews. For the best products at the best prices, specially engineered for Tucson's harsh elements, remember Tucson Window and Door. Financing options are available OAC. Remember, save 15% plus an additional $100 on every window and door during our biggest sale ever at Tucson Window and Door. Go to TucsonWindowAndDoor.com to schedule your free estimate today. That's TucsonWindowAndDoor.com or call 298-DOOR, 298-DOOR, ROC number 206959.
So much more than just windows and doors, Tucson Window and Door.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising.
I'm Alan McCloskey, owner-operator of Allen Shoes. Rob, before we resume our discussion and get to the question of the day, first I want to hear more about your experience as president of the National Exchange Club. Can you tell us about your many years of experience and what sort of projects you've been involved with?
Well, sure, Alan. I've been a member of Exchange since 1976. We're a local community service organization. I currently have about 600 clubs and 20,000 members throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico. My home club is the Santa Rita Exchange Club of Tucson. We've been around since about 1982. I got very involved with Exchange early on and moved up onto the national level. And in 2006, I was elected national president at our convention in Orlando, and I served 2007-2008 as national president. Rita and I were able to travel all across the country that year, visiting clubs and taking part in projects and seeing what these wonderful people are doing in their communities to help make our communities a better place. One of the big things that we do in Exchange, child abuse prevention is our national project. We've got 70 child abuse prevention centers throughout the U.S. and Puerto Rico, one here in Tucson, which is called Parent Aid. It's on 22nd Street, just east of Tucson Boulevard. Parent Aid works with families before they get into abusive situations. We also work a lot with youth, a lot of youth programs. We sponsor a club at Troy High School called the Breakaway Excel Club. This is a really neat group of young people, and I love meeting with them every week. The energy is just fantastic. So Exchange is a great organization. We've been part of it for many years. I'm very proud to have served, and we're just happy to serve the community.
Rob, it's time for our big question of the day.
Here we go. From a small local retailer, inventory is way up over plan and sales are down. Customer count is down and brands carried are being discounted on the internet. Needless to say, bills are stacking up. Looks like a perfect storm for going out of business. What do you suggest? Have a huge sale? Generate cash? Scale back the staff by hours or total employees? do more myself, cleaning, etc.? Do I have to pay others that I'm paying others to do right now? No bank will loan my business any money unless I can secure the loan with a personal guarantee. Should I do that? Or should I just file bankruptcy?
And you missed, dig into my retirement fund. So my answer to the question starts with either how committed are you to your business, or how committed should you be to your business, or should you be committed to an insane asylum if you are seriously thinking of putting more money into your business? So I got to ask you, if you have your money separate and you don't have personal guarantees that would make you personally go bankrupt, you have to ask yourself if you're committed to the success, if you're committed to do whatever it takes to get back in business. So let's talk about whatever it takes. Are you willing to work more hours? Are you willing to pay attention to every detail? Are you willing to handle those items, those issues that you used to pay outside services to do? Are you willing to consider that every day will be a struggle and it may take you months or years to repair your business? If you're not that committed, I strongly suggest that you don't put any more personal money into your business if you can help it, and you find an exit plan. But I'm thinking most people are not going to take that route. Some of the business people I know have always been willing to sign personal guarantees, have been willing to put a second on their home, have considered breaking into the retirement account. You can call that commitment. Well, let's take the alternative, bankruptcy. There are forms, and there's a small chance that you can organize your debts. Look up Chapter 5. It's been revised recently of the Bankruptcy Code, but only if you aren't committed or you realistically think you can't fix your situation. I personally still feel I can make something happen. So I've been working every day, weekends, including preparing my company for the next step, having multiple discussions, reaching out to my peer network groups, as I mentioned last week, and so have members of my executive team. And it's just, you know, a big issue, but I have to think that most business people are positive people. They're committed to the future, and you know, they're going to think it through. So one of the questions was, have a huge sale to generate cash. Well, certainly you need to do whatever it is to maximize your cash position and to turn your assets, your inventory into cash, because they're not getting any fresher. They're actually getting more dated because we wasted a big part of our spring season, so that those goods for spring may or may not be viable for fall. So you have to consider a sale, and you have to look at your inventory. And we did at Allen Shoes is we looked at all of our inventory, and we determined, you know, the oldest stuff, let's you know, promote that. And that's what we're doing here. Scaling back my staff by hours or total employees or both? Well, not everyone it was comfortable coming back, and so we do have a lower staff right now, but we hope to get back to full staff. You know, I think some people might be doing that, you know, and so you have to consider that, make your own judgment for your own business. Do more myself? Certainly, we have to do more ourselves. We can't afford to pay for all these outside services we used to. And it's one of the part of the questions was, no bank will loan to my business unless I secure the loan. I can't think of many small businesses, and I'm really talking small, not the 500 employee businesses, but the ones that are 10 employees or 20 employees. I can't think that they have enough financial strength just in their corporation that a bank is going to agree to loan to them without a personal guarantee. Some of the SBA loans don't require a personal guarantee, so you can look into some of those. I think that the EIDL loan, a disaster loan, if you can get one of those, and that's a big waiting line, under $200,000 doesn't require a personal guarantee, but it does require collateral on your house. Rob.
So, Alan, if you have to give a personal guarantee on a business loan and you fail, does that mean you're going to lose your house and all your assets?
Well, that depends. So you need financial advice. So if you're thinking that you're at the brink, if you're thinking that it's not clear-cut for you, or you're thinking that you're not fully committed, then you need to make sure you have the right financial advisor. It might be your CPA. It might be your peer network. It might be your lawyer. And you need to go out and seek the best advice you can, help you make the right decision. Because, you know, if you bring back all your employees and then you fail in 2 months, How does that work?
Bad situation. You know, one of the things you just mentioned, and I think one of the things we're going to try to do with this program is talk about best practices. And I know you, Alan, do this, and several of my other clients do, that you're involved in organizations with like business people that you can talk these things through. Like, you've got a group of shoe retailers that you meet with regularly, and you guys compare notes and you talk through things. And I would encourage everybody out there that try to reach out to people in businesses that are like yours, so that you can talk through, get some ideas and some opinions, and see what's working for others. Do you agree?
Well, I agree. And I got to tell you, I've been on this board of directors of the National Shoe Retailers Association since 1993, and everyone's open to help each other. We're not really directly competing against each other, even though some of us have internet businesses and grab a pair of shoes from someone else's territory. We're not worried about that. We all think we have more to gain than to lose by giving information. And, you know, it really, peer network groups really work. There's more to be gained than to be risked. And I just suggest that you consider that as one of the steps that you're doing if you're a small business person.
Just reach out to your friends that are in the business, whatever business you're in, or in other markets. One of my clients is in the pest control business, and they've got like 10 or 12 other companies all over the country that they meet with on a regular basis. These are huge companies, and they talk it out. They go through things. They research ideas. They see what works and what doesn't. This is going to help you in getting through this, because sometimes there's safety in numbers. You don't need to go this alone. I think that's one of the messages we want to get across to people. You are not alone.
So talk about our sponsors, Rob.
All right. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes. We want to thank our guest today, Daryl Durham from the Arizona Daily Star. Daryl, thank you so much, and thanks to the Arizona Daily Star for everything you're doing.
And Rob, as the owner of a small business in this community, Allen Shoes, I want our audience to know I am personally in this struggle with them. If you're a retailer, a restaurateur, and any business that has struggled through the last month and a half, or someone just interested in business, or you simply want to help out our small businesses in Southern Arizona, this is the show for you. Now, we have a website. We're not quite ready to unveil it yet. Maybe next week. We've got a Facebook page. We're Back to Business with Rob and Alan on Facebook. And, you know, we're going to have those things. You're going to be able to join our email club. We're going to be able to send you updates about our future guests and other things going on. And we want to see you back here next week on Back to Business with Rob and Alan, KVOI, 10:30 a.m., The Voice. This has been Alan McCloskey of Alan Shoes.
Rob Davidson of Davidson Advertising. Please listen to us next week, and have a great week and be safe.